You know, I used to think a few years ago that because of all the social media and the ways that we have to communicate in the day, that video was, it would have been something if Jesus had been raised in this day and age. Last few years, I've wondered, though, because now everybody's so used to fake news and to other kinds of things and tearing things apart and tearing people down, that it would be interesting to see in this day and age in which we live, how the resurrection is received, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're starting a new series today called The Tipping Point. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book a few years ago called The Tipping Point. And in it, he talked about these moments, these magic moments when an idea or a social behavior or a trend crosses a threshold, tips, and begins to spread like wildfire. He talked about those tipping points that make all the difference in our culture. And Merriam-Webster Dictionary describes a tipping point this way. The tipping point is the critical point in a situation, process, or system beyond which a significant and often unstoppable effect or change takes place. I think for us as followers of Jesus, oftentimes the church looks at the cross as that tipping point. I think often we see the cross and we think about what Jesus did there. I mean, you think about the story of Jesus and the fact that he came and he taught and he was showing us who the Father was, and he was telling us how to live in relationship to the Father. He was telling us how God intended for us to live in this world. And he lived amongst us, and he went through everything that we went through, and he experienced everything that we experience as humans. And yet, he lived without sin. And yet, if you read the story and you look at his life, there's a lot of tension in that. Because as he's telling us who God is, as he's healing people, as he's teaching people about the Father, the religious establishment was growing more angry and more angry and more angry. Matter of fact, the more miracles he did, the more irritated they got. The more things that he taught about who the Father was and how to live in relationship to the Father, which often was different than what they emphasized, they just grew madder and madder and madder, more angry and more angry. They tried to trip him up, you know. They would try to ask him questions, you know, to trick him. But he was wiser and smarter than they were. And so he would answer in ways. And just every time they encountered him, every time they saw him eating with tax collectors and prostitutes. And, you know, they even called him the friend of sinners. And they just grew so angry that they wanted to do away with him. And the story began, if you read the Gospels, you see the story begin to build and build, and you see this climax coming, till finally they trumped up charges against Jesus. They hauled him in front of their religious courts, and they condemned him. And then they knew they couldn't kill him on their own, so they needed the help of the Romans, and so they put him in front of Pontius Pilate and tried him there and made accusations for him there. And the Romans, they didn't really want anything to do with him. They didn't think anything he'd done had risen to the level of executing him. So they even gave him a way out. They gave the Jews a way out. They said, you know what? We're during the Passover, we always release a prisoner. And so we'll either give you, you know, who do you want? We'll give you Jesus. We'll pardon him so we don't have to do this. And they go, no. We want Barabbas, a well-known criminal. We'd rather have the criminal be freed than him. And so the story builds, the tension builds. They take Jesus, they flog him and beat him within an inch of his life. He's bleeding. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mock him. They make him carry the crossbeam to his cross out to Golgotha. And there they nailed him, his hands and his feet, to the cross. And they put him up between two criminals. Gamble for his clothes. In the story of Jesus, reaches this climax, right? Reaches this climax where on the cross Jesus says, it is finished, and he dies. And one might think that's the tipping point, right? Because in the story, all the religious leaders are relieved. Like, well, we finally got rid of that guy. We finally did away with him. And they're relieved, and you know, they put him down, and the disciples, they're all terrified and scared. They're afraid they're going to be next, and they know that he's dead, and they're beginning to question whether he was ever the Messiah, everything they believed about him, and they go into hiding. And it just seems like the story, right? It's reached its climax. And for us, though, as Christians, it's the tipping point, we think, because what he did on that cross was for our sins. He died for us, because the Bible says we've all come short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and we all need forgiveness. And Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. When he was on that cross, he died for my sin, and he died for your sins. He died for the sin of the world. And the thought might be that the cross is the tipping point in the whole story. But it's not. Because it wasn't the end of the story. You see, you see that there were some of his followers that asked for his body. And so on that Friday, after he hung on the cross for 6 hours before sundown, they asked for his body. And so they took his body down and they went and they put it in a tomb. They buried him. And there he lay. Saturday was the Sabbath, and so there wasn't a whole lot of activity going on. It was just, you know, church, and the disciples, like I said, were in hiding, and they were scared. And finally, on Sunday morning, Mary gets up, and she heads to the tomb. And when she goes to the tomb, nobody is expecting Jesus to be alive. Matter of fact, when you read the resurrection narratives, I mean, everyone believes he's dead. It's over. This story has reached its climax. This story has been written. It's done. We're going to move on. Everyone's surprised that when they find the stones rolled away. And even though the body's not there, they still don't even begin to think, even though Jesus had predicted it and said he was going to be raised again, they didn't even have any way to understand that. Because you know what? Before now, no one had ever come back to life. No one, I mean, people died and they stayed dead. And so when they went to the tomb that day, they're questioning people. You know, where have you put the, even Mary asked the gardener, who she thought was the gardener, but it was Jesus. He's like, where'd you put his body? Everybody's looking for the body because no one's expecting him to be alive. Nobody expected there to be no body. Well, the cross wasn't the climax. The cross wasn't the climax at all. It's not the pinnacle. It's not the end of the story. It's not the highest point of the story. It is not the tipping point. The tipping point is the resurrection. He is risen. That's the tipping point. Easter is what makes it all amazing. Easter is what made no one had ever come back to life before. No one since has ever come back to life before the way that Jesus did. If you listen to the testimony of the church again and again, listen, I do not want anyone to think for just a moment. The cross is central to everything we believe, that Jesus died for our sins. But you need to understand something. The cross doesn't mean as much without the tomb. Because the message of the church over and over again in the New Testament is not, he died for us, he died for us. It's that he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. He has risen. Matter of fact, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth about some of this stuff. And he said, they're having some discussion about the resurrection and what it means to be raised from the dead and whether they would be raised from the dead. And Paul says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He doesn't say whether you believe in the cross or not makes your faith valid or not. What he says is it's the resurrection. Our preaching, if he's not resurrected, then our preaching is nothing and your faith is nothing. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. It's not as much what you believe about the cross as it is what you believe about the resurrection, he says. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins if you don't believe in the resurrection, that God raised him from the dead. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Paul says, if we're just believing the resurrection for now, we just believe in the resurrection for today, then, man, we really are being short-sighted, because it's not just for today. We're talking about for eternity. Paul understood that the resurrection was the game changer. Because Jesus rose from the dead, everything was now different. It was the resurrection that vindicated Jesus as the Son of God after a humiliating death on the cross. It's the resurrection that said, "This is my Son." It's the resurrection that says, "I honor and bless that the way to live your life is the way that he lived his life." It was the resurrection that put the stamp of approval from God. It's the resurrection that led him to being seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the whole reason why every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. He died for me is incomplete without he also lives for me. He died for me and he came back to life for me. Paul understood that if the resurrection had never happened, Jesus would have been just another prophet who died on a hill, on a cross 2,000 years ago. But the resurrection makes all the difference. Paul was adamant that the resurrection was real, that the resurrection was also something that we could attain to in our life, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead would raise you and I from the dead as well. Listen to what he said earlier in chapter 15. He says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas," which is Peter, "and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time." And that's so important. It's like saying, you know what? Listen, check me out. Don't just take my word for it. There were over 500 brothers and sisters in Christ. They saw him too. It's not just me that says this, but a lot of people saw him. And most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. I love how he says that. Because here's the deal. Dead people stay dead. Do you know what people who go to sleep do? Wake up. Hopefully. But then if somebody's asleep, if we say somebody's asleep, our anticipation is they're going to wake up. And when you look through the New Testament, when it talks about followers of Jesus, they begin to talk about them falling asleep because there's this belief that the resurrection was so powerful and that we would one day, as followers of Jesus, experience that we were going to get up again one day, that death is not the end. It's just we're asleep for a time, but we're going to get back up because we're going to experience the resurrection in our life. Because when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he defeated death. And when we die, we have that same hope that death will be defeated in us. I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've been, even longer than that. I mean, my 55 years, 30 years as a pastor and 55 years alive, I've stood beside a lot of gravesides. Done a lot of funerals, some in my own family. I've done some funerals of people I didn't know for one reason or another, because of the funeral home or extension of somebody in our church. And I tell you what, there's a big difference when you stand at a graveside between those who believe that we will be brought back to life, that we will, those who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that it's for his believers, and those who see that as the end. It's a big difference when you stand at the graveside and you think it's over between, I believe this is just a transition, that this is just the beginning, that there is life eternal. There's a big difference when you stand there. It's a big difference in the families when they know that the person who died, you know, had a hope in Jesus Christ, trusted in him, believed in him, believed in the resurrection from the dead, and believed that one day they will rise again. There's hope that one day we'll see them again. One day we'll join them again. But it is a horrible thing, because if you think this is the end, there is no hope. It's over. It's done. And there's a huge difference between those who trust in Christ and those who don't. I've been in a place where people have been told they have a terminal illness and only had a few months to live. And there's a big difference in those moments between those who believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has got them, that God can heal them. And if he doesn't heal them here, he's going to heal them there. And they have wholeness. And that person who hears that news and just has to live with a while knowing that the end is just around the corner. The despair, the discouragement. Maybe some of you are there this morning. Maybe some of you have been there with a loved one recently. I want you to look at our survey results this morning. So we asked you 3 questions. How often do you think about your own death? 20% said often. 64% of us occasionally. 16% said I try not to. Next question. What word best describes your attitude when thinking about your own death? Confident, 46% of us. But still, the majority of us fall into that category of saying, I have fear, or I try to avoid it, or it makes me anxious. Over half of us. And then the next question, do you feel prepared to die? And 49% of us said yes, but 51% of us aren't sure. If you take these to a national level in the United States, they often reflect a little bit stronger. Of course, we're in church today. But if you take that to a national level, a lot of people, they don't want to talk about death. They are unsure of what happens and where they're going. And so they feel very unprepared for the most part. But I want to tell you this morning, I believe that the resurrection is the tipping point in you facing death. I believe the resurrection can make a difference in your life so that you don't have to face it unsure, so that you don't have to be filled with anxiety, so that you don't have to be filled with fear and doubt. I believe the resurrection can make a difference so that it's okay to talk about in our lives, that Jesus Christ is risen and that I don't have to be afraid anymore when I believe in what he did on the cross was for me, and I believe that Jesus Christ, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that I can be free and I can face those things with courage. And more importantly, my family, when I go, can know and face with courage when I'm gone about where I am and what I believe and what I trust in. Paul said this later on in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. And then he gives 2 quotes. He gives a couple of lines from 2 Old Testament prophets, and he says this, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In other words, death doesn't have to win. Now, the reality is we're all going to face it. Every one of us in this room should Jesus not come back and Jesus tarry, we're all going to face death. We're all going to experience it. The deal is, what's going to happen when we die? Who are we going to trust in? Do we believe it's just the end? Or do we have a hope and a trust because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that same power will raise me up? Do I have confidence to believe that I can face that? Not only that, but listen, life is hard. Life is tough, isn't it? These are difficult days. And when you face difficulty and you face hardship, when you face financial hardship, when you face relationship issues in your family, when you face a job loss, when you're sick and ill, when you're struggling with your family and your kids, it's almost as though all the hope can be drained out of you. But because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and he's overcome all of that, it gives us a place to stand. It gives us in the midst of difficulty to know that there's a power that's greater than death. So guess what? That power is able to help me in my financial situation. That power is able to help me in my family relationship, my marriage. That power is able to help me with school or work or whatever it is that I need. That power gives me ability to stand. Matter of fact, Paul went on to say in last couple of verses, in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my dear brothers, because of the resurrection, because he lives and that power lives in you, listen, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And my desire this morning for you is that if you're in life and you feel like you're getting blown around, pushed around, dragged around, I want you to know this morning, the resurrection, the fact that he's alive, can help you stand. It can be a place, where you can put your feet, a solid ground for you to stand, a place where you can stand firm because you don't have to be defeated and you don't have to live discouraged and you don't have to live overwhelmed by all the junk in life. You can be free when you trust that what he did on the cross was for you and you know that the resurrection power that you really believe he was raised from the dead and that same power lives in you. I'm telling you, it can overcome anything in your life. How do I know? Because he overcame death. He overcame death. And he can overcome it in your life. Because in the end, isn't that just what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to kill us. But God says, listen, I got something better for you. I've got life for you. When you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and you embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have hope today in the middle of everything. I've told this story before here, but I've been here now 2 years, so I'm starting to repeat all my stories, okay? So if you've not been here in the last 2 years, they're all going to be fresh and new, all right? I want to tell you about my friend Margaret. Margaret was in one of my churches. Matter of fact, when I went to this church, she was a church treasurer. Great lady of great faith. She was single, had been all her life. Had a great family, extended family. And Margaret got cancer. And we prayed for Margaret, you know. She came down to the altar and we all anointed her and prayed around her. And she had surgery and the surgery went pretty well and they got it all. And she came away with a clean bill of health. They said, now we'll have to watch it, but you know, because if you've had cancer, you know how that is, right? So I told Margaret, they said, though, but this is really good. This is the most sad. So we praised God. We were so thankful and it was awesome, and our church was on a high, and, you know, I'm like, well, there you go. I'm super pastor. We got, that's how we do it in a church, you know what I mean? And Margaret's cancer came back. And the church was devastated. Pastor, we prayed, and we anointed, and we did everything that we could, and we thought that this was, what's, Pastor, I don't understand. And what was really difficult was I didn't understand either. For as much as everybody else was devastated, I think I was even more devastated. I remember visiting Margaret in the hospital. It was just me and her, and we were talking, and it was obvious that her time was really short. And remember she said, Pastor, I mean, this woman is laying in bed dying from cancer. She says, Pastor, I know this has been really hard on you. And she said, but I want you to know something. And I said, Margaret, I said, it has been. I said, I thought we had enough faith. And she said, oh, it's not about that. She said, Pastor, I want you to know something, is that God is answering my prayer. She said, whether he heals me on this side or he heals me on the other side, it's okay. I have hope because I trust in him. So I want you to know, Pastor, it's all right. He didn't let us down. He didn't let us down. She died a few days later, and I have to tell you, I was blown away by this woman who faced death not like it was whipping her. No, death didn't win anything that day that Margaret bodily passed away. In Margaret's eyes, she won because she knew the God that she trusted in, because she believed in the resurrection from the dead, and that same power lived inside her. And so she went confidently through that whole situation. I look at her life. She could face that biggest storm in her life because she trusted in Jesus and she believed in the resurrection. She believed he is risen, and one day I will be too. We've seen it in this church, haven't we? We saw it in our friend Karen Hurst. We saw it in our friend John Butler. We've seen it in other people through the years here, that we can face that with courage. And you know what I want to do? I want to face that day with courage. I mean, there's no guarantee of anything. I could walk out of here today or, you know, and something could happen and I could pass away, but I want you to know it's okay. He is risen, and one day I will be too. I believe that. I trust in that. So when times are hard and things are difficult, it's okay. God's got me. God's got me. And I can have courage and I can have hope because he is risen and one day I will be too. And here's the thing. I want that for your life. I want you to face it that confidently. I've been with people. I've been with friends of mine who faced death fearful. I don't want to face it that way. I don't want you to either. I don't want you to face the circumstances that you're in right now, the hopelessness. I don't want it to drown you. I believe today that because of the resurrection, because he is risen, and I will be one day too, I want you to have that hope. I want you to have that peace. I want you to understand that that same power lives in you today. And if you've got dead dreams, God can bring your dreams to life and give you new dreams. I want you to believe that if you've got a bad diagnosis from the doctor doesn't have the last word. God does. Whether on this side or that, when you put your trust in him, he is risen and I will be one day too. That's what I want for you. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is that your hope, your desire? Is that your belief this morning? Have you trusted in what he did on the cross? Do you trust today that he is risen and alive? Have you let hope and despair drown you? Have you embraced him as your Savior? Are you moving towards the end or moving towards the beginning? Death is just a transition into eternal life. When you face your greatest enemy of death, will you do it with courage or with fear? Will your family have confidence in knowing where your trust is? Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, on this, the day of the greatest news of all, that Jesus is alive, to know that Jesus is risen and we will be one day too. God, I pray right now for every person in this room this morning, that if there's a doubt today in facing death about what would happen, if there's any part of them that is unsure, if there's any part of them that lacks confidence this morning, that they would put their hope in you today. God, I pray for that one today who's been overwhelmed with doubt, overwhelmed with discouragement, overwhelmed with problems. And today, this morning, they would put their hope and trust in that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead would raise them up this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I wonder if somebody might just say, you know what, Pastor? I'm not a Christian. Haven't been following Jesus. But I want that same assurance. I want to know today that when I face my greatest enemy, I'm going to know with confidence that he, not only was he raised from the dead, but that he will raise me too. I want to ask him to be the Lord of my life. I want to ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I want to follow him. I believe that what he did on the cross was for me, and I believe that he has rose again for me as well. I want to put my trust in that this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you slip your hand up this morning. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, you see these hands up this morning. I pray, Lord, today that you will fill each heart as they declare that they believe that what you did on the cross was for them, and they ask for forgiveness, and they believe today that you were raised from the dead and that same power can live in them. I pray it would be evident in their life right now that, God, they would grab hold of that surety that the Bible says that when we ask you to forgive us our sins, you forgive us our sins, and you cleanse us, and you wash us. We put our hope and our trust in you this morning. I just wonder, with your heads bowed and your eyes still closed this morning, for somebody who'd say, Pastor, I've got a lot of stuff going on and it is overwhelming me right now. And I need that power to be evident in my life. I need to lean harder into the truth today that he has risen, and one day I will too. Would you just remember me in prayer this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just raise your hand this morning if you'd like for me to remember your prayer all across the sanctuary. God, you see each of these hands that are up this morning. I pray for the resurrection power to be loosened in people's lives. I pray for freedom to come, that if there's places of death, that the stone will be rolled back. And God, they might know your freedom today. They might be assured of your presence in their life. And that, God, you might do incredible things because they've trusted in you this morning. Help them to lean in to the life that you give, even as the enemy tries to fill their life with death. God, I pray your resurrection power would be unleashed in them and uplifted in their lives this morning. God, thank you for what you did. I thank you today that you found me. I believe today that Jesus Christ is risen, and I believe today that one day I will be too. Help me to live in the power of that this week. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to close our service by celebrating baptism. Bible says that in baptism that we are reenacting the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the church has traditionally done baptisms on Easter Sunday, because what a day to talk about it. Paul said that when we go into the water, we go under and we die out to ourselves, and we are raised again to new life. And we had 10 people sign up for baptism. We had three adults that had some conflicts or other things, so you'll be seeing some of them be baptized in the next few weeks. But this morning, we have three of our children, three of our teens, and one adult today, which reminds me, right? This is why we have children's ministry. It's why we have youth ministry. It's why we do these things, because we believe in the power of God to change lives. And so we are grateful for every story that is told this morning. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Shauna, and she is going to have our first baptism this morning. Pastor Shauna.
Turn around for a second. This is Miss Lainey Holloway, and oh my word, guys, this is such a cool story. She started coming to church with us because of VBS, our very first year, and she connected with JoJo Westfall, who's also getting baptized. She grew up in a Christian home, and she doesn't really remember specifically giving her life to Jesus, but she said that she's always grown up just believing what Jesus has done for her, has counted for her. And she wanted to be baptized today to show everyone else that as well. So, Lainey, I just have three questions for you, my friend. Are you ready? Okay. Do you love Jesus with all of your heart?
Yes.
Do you believe that he is Lord and leader of your life?
Yes.
And do you want to show everyone that's true today by being baptized?
Yes.
All right. Then come right over here. Lainey Holloway, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Hey! I told you it was warm.
Now, this is Jojo Marie Westfall. Jojo has a very similar story to Lainey. She grew up coming to this church and believing in Jesus ever since she can remember. And she wanted to be baptized today to show everyone that she took this commitment to another level and that it's her commitment that she wants to make. So, Joe, I just have the same questions for you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord of your life?
Yes.
And do you love him with all of your heart?
Yes.
And do you want to show everyone that's true today by being baptized?
Yes.
Okay. Then Jojo Marie, oh, you got to go this way because I'm lefty. Jojo Marie Westfall, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Kid that's being baptized, really cool story. Her mom is actually going to get baptized a little bit later today, and they wanted to make this decision together. Now, Kaylin gave her life to Jesus. She said she grew up in a home with a Christian mom and a really strong Christian grandma, and she gave her life to Jesus when she was really, really young, and then went to camp this last year and started realizing that what Jesus did counted for her as well. And so she wanted to show everyone this is true by being baptized. So, Miss Caitlin, I just have a couple questions for you, okay? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord and leader of your life?
Yes.
And do you love him with all of your heart?
Yes.
And do you want to show everyone that's true today by being baptized?
Yes.
Then, Caitlin Wiltrout, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This last one has actually graduated out of my program already, but we love having her. She helps us out as a volunteer, one of the best volunteers we actually have in the kids' ministry. And when she came in and told me that she wanted to give her life to Jesus, we talked about kind of her story. She remembers giving her life to Jesus really young, but then rededicating her life and taking a hold of her own. And she wanted to show everyone that was true by being baptized today. So, Miss Martina, I just have three questions for you as well.
Okay.
Do you love Jesus with all your heart?
Yes.
And do you believe that he is Lord and leader of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to show everyone that's true today by being baptized?
Definitely.
Then Martina Royer, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name's Nicole. I'm a youth pastor here, so I work with these teens. I got here in October, November, so I haven't been here for very long, but already, I knew that would happen. With having a baby, you become really emotional, like, all the time. We've already gotten to know some of these teens. This is Dakota Wallace. And she is a junior at Seaman High, and before I even got here, you'll notice a trend with our two teens. Their stories are very similar, and that's because we really value community here. We really value living life with one another, and they decided, both of them, at a winter jam, they are at a winter extreme. So it's kind of like a conference. They both decided that they were going to give their lives to Jesus. Dakota, that was a year ago, and now she has decided that baptism, she wants to solidify that, and she wants to take that next step in front of all of you. So I'm going to ask you two questions. Dakota, have you confessed and repented of your sins? asking God to forgive you and let what Jesus did on the cross count for your sins?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge Jesus as your personal savior and trust in him alone as Lord of your life?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to have you come because Sean and I are both lefties. Here, turn this way. All right, Dakota, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Hannah Gillespie, and she had made a previous kind of commitment to Jesus growing up in church and being here at Fairlawn, but it wasn't until her and Dakota made that experience together that she really truly realized the depth of what Jesus did for her, and she's decided today to be baptized to be able to kind of make that next commitment to have that with an experience with all of you. And to be able to share that and to live into that freedom. So I'm going to ask you two questions. Hannah, have you confessed and repented of your sins, asking God to forgive you and let what Jesus did on the cross count for your sins?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge Jesus as your personal Savior and trust in him alone as Lord of your life?
Yes.
Great. Put your hand over your nose or... Okay. Hannah Gillespie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Church says, raised to new life, because that's what it's all about. And I appreciate these stories that we've heard this morning. I want to tell you about Kristen's. Good, it's all right. It's a good deal. There's flotation devices over here. And, she gave her heart and life to Christ in 95 at NYC.
Yes.
And but then over time kind of went away from that commitment and then but then came back and gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I appreciate Kristen in this. If you knew, you know what we're talking about this morning is so real and true. This last year, she's had a lot of personal struggles. She lost her boyfriend, and it was my honor to do his funeral and other things, other family issues that have happened and stuff like that. But in the midst of all this, she has trusted and depended on that same resurrection power to get her through and give her a firm place to stand. And so this morning, she wanted to come to declare her faith in him and the fact that that resurrection power lives in her life, and that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and that he is what she's depending on this morning. And so it's an honor to baptize you this morning. I'm on the other hand, so we'll turn you this way. There we go.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. Kristen Hazlett, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know about you, but it's been a good Easter so far. And listen, if you're new here, and maybe you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you come back and be with us again. Matter of fact, we're going to continue the series called The Tipping Point. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how the resurrection power of Jesus can make a difference in your relationships, make a difference in how we look at our world, how we interact with one another, and how and what it can do in our families as well. So I hope you'll come back and bring somebody with you. We got a lot of things going on. Here's what I want you to know about Fairlawn. We believe that God can change our lives. We believe that he can help us live into everything that his book says that we can. And more than anything else, we believe that no matter where you come from or what you've done, God's arms are wide open. Everyone's accepted here at Farallon Church of the Nazarene. We invite you to come and be a part of what we're doing. Will you stand with me this morning? And let me give you a blessing today before we leave. As we go today, I've got three of my friends, Mark Brown and Dan Golightly and Janet Golightly. They're going to come down to the communion table this morning. They're part of our Stevens ministry, and they've been trained to help people. If you need somebody to pray for you this morning, maybe this morning you ask Christ into your heart and you want to know a little bit more, or maybe you've got a need this morning, a struggle you're having, they're down here and they'll pray with you. Confidential, you can trust them and let them know, and they'll help you out with anything that you need this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are the source of every mercy. You are the God of all strength and consolation. Help us this week to not rely on ourselves alone, but to put our trust in you. For you who raised Jesus from the dead, live inside us. Walk beside us. Be in us so that no matter what obstacle we find, God, we might find you getting us through to victory. We love you today and we give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. He is risen. Have a great week this week.